This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
That's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Just gone 13 minutes past 8. Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to past and present sports stars. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking football tonight. My guest is the former Vereniging All Boys, Bluebell, Swaraj, Dynamos and Orlando Pirates defender Gora Ibrahim. But before I chat to Gora, let's catch up with the latest news coming through from today. There's FA Cup fourth round action. I can tell you Man United up against Liverpool, 54 minutes gone. United leading that one 2-1. Marcus Rashford just scoring the second there a couple of minutes ago. Some of the results from earlier on there: Chelsea beat Luton Town 3-1. Leicester beat Brentford 3-1. There's one late game as well. Everton taking on Sheffield Wednesday. Cape Town City, a good win for them against Golden Arrows in the DStv Premiership. They won that match 4-2. In some cricketing news coming through, England with 339 for 9 in their first innings at stumps on day 3 of the second test against Sri Lanka in goal. Joe Root is in fine form. They're 186, his second 100 in the series, while the home side made 381 in their first innings. And the Lions beat the Warriors by 42 runs in their Pool B Momentum One-Day Cup match in Potchefstroom, chasing 211 to win that match. The Warriors were bowled out for 168. Time now to say assalamu alaikum, Gora Ibrahim. Gora? I think we just have a technical problem there. Nazim's going to try to get Gora back online there. And then we can chat to him. Of course, Gora Ibrahim played for many teams in the FPL. Very young when he started there. So we'll get to hear his story. Just the latest coming through from Old Trafford. 56 minutes gone. United 2-1 up there. Liverpool took the lead through Mohamed Salah. Mason Greenwood equalised. And then Marcus Rashford putting them 2-1 ahead. Just another result from yesterday or earlier today. Manchester City were 10 minutes away from going out, so they won that one eventually, beating Cheltenham there 3-1 there. So we're still trying to get hold of Gora. Gora, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Feroz, is it better now?
A little bit better. How are you doing this evening?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm very grateful for you having me on the show. Thank you. I feel honored.
No, it's only a pleasure, and thanks for joining us. I mean, you're joining us from Johannesburg this evening. Thanks for joining us on Voice of the Cape, Gora. Of course, you can join the conversation tonight if you're back home, 021-442-3530, or you can WhatsApp us on 0829-913-913 for any comments or questions to Gora. So, Gora, let's start from the very, very beginning there. Where did it all begin for Gora Ibrahim? Was football? Football, you've always your first sport of choice.
Yeah, football has always been a dream, Feroz. Right? You may know or may not know that I'm originally from Vereeniging. So it all started on the dusty streets of Vereeniging in a little dorpy called Roshni, where we just dreamed of playing in front of masses, in front of a big crowd of people. I was born, a year old in Roshni started off. 12 years later, we had Vereeniging All Boys playing professional football. Mm. And it was a massive boost for the town and for us. We had the opportunity to see all these wonderful players driving into town every second Sunday. And we just dreamt. And it all started there for me.
So there were the stars there. There was a guy, were the guys you looked up to.
Yes, Vereeniging has a big history, a fairly extensive history of football, rich history. Vereeniging All Boys started in the 50s, and before we moved to Roshni, we all lived together in a little town, or at least in a town called Top Location, which was close to the city. And my dad and the Naidu brothers began the Vereeniging All Boys brand. It was just a little team that got everyone in the town together to play football. And unbeknown to them, it became massive. It was a team that gave the town hope and pride, and a big sense of pride. And as we moved in further into Johannesburg playing against teams, we really, really did well. And so Vereeniging became, I suppose, known because of the football before anything else. But I wasn't young enough to see my dad play or the Naidu brothers. Yeah. I saw the second generation of players, people like Bailu Bayat, who was the captain of the Vereeniging All Boys team that won in the Seven Seas Cup in 1981. He was one of my heroes, and he still continues to be one of them.
Now, we're going to chat about that cup in a short while, Gora. Now, were you always a centre-half when you started off, or did you start off in another position?
Funnily not. You know, in the way we grew up playing football, there was no position. We were all footballers. We're not centre-halves or strikers or right-wings. We grew up in Roshni, and for most part of my junior life, football was very unorganized. Only became organized when I sort of started middle school, grade 5, when we started playing in proper teams. So by then, I think I'd cultivated the skills of playing pretty much anywhere and everywhere. Mm. But because my dad was a famous right back, I started off at right back. And it became quite boring because, that time right back wasn't what it is right now. Mm. You needed to defend. You didn't necessarily have to attack. That was essentially what it was. But I had too many other gifts, I suppose, to stay in the position. And I moved to the center, and I just loved playing in the center of the midfield, in the center of defending. Those were my two favorite positions.
Now I can't ask you about all the amateur teams you played for, because you made your debut at a very, very young age in the FPL as a 15-year-old in Standard 8, and that was, of course, for a VOB. How did that opportunity come along?
So that was quite interesting. I got Dougie Carlos to thank for that. Excuse me. Dougie was the coach of Vereeniging All Boys that had just won the Seven Seas in 1981. In 1981, I was playing under 16 for my team called Glendine. And Glendine had just swept everyone away in LFA in under 16 league. We won the cup, the league, and we won the cup. We did the double, and the next year we were still getting ready in the preseason. And Dougie saw me running around with my buddies, and he called me over and he said, "Would you like to have a run with the guys tomorrow?" And my eyes just lit up, and I said, "Absolutely, Mr. Carlos, absolutely." I really, really loved it. So I went the next day. And he asked me to stay on the next day. And 3 weeks later, I made my debut for Vereeniging All Boys, unofficially, I must say, when I to mark Kelvin Peterson at the Northdale Stadium. Not Kelvin, it was Keith.
Keith America.
I hated number 9, the number 9 jersey after that. That number 9 jersey was in my face the whole time.
Are you there, Gora?
I am indeed.
Okay. Sorry, I think you just got cut off there for a few seconds. Now, what was it like being coached by Dougie Carus? Of course, he was a legend himself, obviously from Cape Town, and then made his name big. What was it like being coached by him?
So I have just a few things to before I speak about Dougie. Mm. Personally, I had never been really coached before. We grew up in Vereeniging. All our football was small-sided games. We hardly had a coach who really knew what they were doing. All our coaches were our teachers who didn't really coach us, just sort of placed us into position and said, "Listen, you now have to play." So when I started being coached by Dougie, it was... It was something out of this world, because his attention to detail and the things that he was telling me, I actually didn't believe that I had to do all of those little things for things to work out.
Mm.
But he took me under his wing. He was so, perhaps, I didn't know it then, but I know it now, so far ahead of his time in terms of tactics and technical know-how. It was just awesome. I was learning every day. I wasn't a student. I was a football player. It consumed me. Every night, the training at the Roshni grounds consumed me. Just being in the company of Dougie and, of course, all of the other legends.
No, fantastic. Now, it must have been an awesome experience playing pro at such an early age. Was it something you adapted to very easily or maybe took a bit of time to settle in a bit?
Pro football was something that you dreamt of. Not really. We just dreamt of playing in front of larger crowds of people. We just dreamt of being adulated and being spoken about and being complimented. That's what it was. But when Serinahan always came in there, they brought professional football to that little town, and that changed everything. It was, I suppose it was unlike most towns. All of a sudden, our dream wasn't just to play in front of people. It was to travel around the country. It was a little more than that. For me, if you ask me, if you, 3 or 4 years earlier, before I made my debut, was it a dream? I would say not really. I just wanted to enjoy my football.
Mm.
When VOB professional team rolled into Vereeniging, it became an instant dream for many of us. But for me, it became a passion. It became something that completely enveloped me. And of course, I had a lot of difficulty at first, a lot of difficulty.
No, absolutely. Now, Gora, just listening to you and about VOB, if I may call them that, because that's what they were known as, reminds me of countries like England and stuff, where you have all these small teams, and, you know, when they advance in the FA Cups or the major cups, and it's huge, and they become heroes, you know, overnight for their towns, their small towns and stuff. Was that the same for you guys? Of course. I mean, can you remember some of those VOB stars that lifted that Seven Seas Cup for the very first? I'm sure that must have been one of their major honors to date, or something like that.
It's something that's often spoken about in Russian, that victory, because that victory catapulted Serenichen Roshni to the epitome of achievement.
Mm.
Up until then, we had Serenichen Old Boys, who had the earlier generations, who did extremely well, who dominated football in the SDFU League, but we dominated football at a local level. They became known as just in the confines. But Uncle Chomi Ali was the manager at the time, and Uncle Farouk Motala, they took the team to a different level. They took the team to a national level. They raised out the profile and the status of Roshni 4 or 5 times over. So, yes, we had great players at the time. We had the Naidu brothers, we had Carter, we had Bomba Kota, and so many of them. But they hadn't scaled those heights. They hadn't been given that type of recognition.
Now,
so us watching that 1981 team.
Now, this year marks the Gora. This year marks the 40th anniversary of that victory for the VOB team. Is there any plans for them to have something in Vereeniging in Roshni?
Yes, I speak to Harun Bera quite often. Harun was a very important member of the team, played in the midfield then, and I think he scored the winner in the semi-finals, if I'm not so sure, against Leeds, Wentworth Leeds. So Harun is planning, and hopefully I'm going to be very involved in that, planning the 40th anniversary of that victory, which is this year, which comes up this year in 2021, somewhere around December, since it happened in 1981. Yes, we are going to commemorate that, and plans are afoot.
No, fantastic.
It's a huge milestone.
Absolutely. Now, you spent a very short time at the VOB before moving on to Bluebells. Why the move to Bells?
So, at VOB, as a 15-year-old, I really couldn't sustain it. As a 15-year-old, I needed to concentrate on my studies, and all the time I heard my teacher saying, football is not going to get you anywhere. And I was just too consumed. And I realized it. I was fairly bright at school. Lots of things were happening. So I took a break from in Standard 8, and I then went back in Standard 9. And in Standard 9, I really got into the first team, played lots of football, but Vereniging All Boys sold their franchise.
Okay.
And I think they sold to Azadville Ace, and that was perhaps one of the saddest things that could have happened to our little town. Mm. But it just sort of spurred me on. When I went to college in 1985, Bluebells came knocking on the door. But I must tell you, Bluebells tried to sign me in 1984 when I was at school. They came in a whole delegation. What a wonderful team. It was just an environment that I've never experienced before, the Bluebells team. A delegation of about 7 or 8 of them came to our house in 1984, and they tried to sign me up. Louis was our coach, but my mom wouldn't let me go for a whole host of reasons. I just lost my dad then, a couple of months before. I just become head prefect at school, and I really needed to knuckle down at school, and she decided not to send me. So I missed out in 84, but in 85, Bells wouldn't have anything. They contacted me at college, and of course, I started playing for them.
Now, by the way, which school did you go to, Gora?
I was at Roshni High, 12 years.
12 years at Roshni High.
12 years. Every year, we just moved two classes to the left or two classes to the right, just depending on which block you were.
Yeah.
And the first head prefect that started in grade 1.
Okay, fantastic.
So it was a bit of a milestone. We made the newspapers, myself and Desmond Desu, the two of us. But, yes, Roshni, and also, just for interest sake, it may not be relevant, but Roshni High won the Transvaal High School in 1984 with a set of 11 players. We beat Nirvana, which was the top school then. We beat all the top schools in Gauteng.
Oh, fantastic. Then it was off to Swaraj and Dynamos before the opportunity to play for one of the biggest clubs in South Africa, Orlando Pirates. Talk us through those moves before we get to Pirates. Of course, VOB and Bluebells was your FPL days, and Swaraj was in another league, right? It was the OK League?
Yeah. I would never have left Bluebells ordinarily. It was a wonderful place to be. But I was extremely ambitious. I really wanted to play with the top players. And Prega was my coach at Bluebells, and Prega played me in a position which I really, really didn't like. At the time, it was centre back. I was playing with Zuna Mal. We were playing. I was his destroyer, and he was my sweeper. And I itched to get into the midfield, because football was becoming boring. I was better than just defending every game. I wanted more, because I could do more. And so I went back to Vereniging All Boys, played with them in the 86 season, and for a little while played in the townships, especially in the townships. And in my last year at college, Bowie Fredericks of Swaraj met me at one of the shopping centers in Lens. And he says, when he asked me what I was doing, and I gave him a little history of where I was, a week later, I was playing for Swaraj in the OK League.
No, fantastic. And what were some of your highlights there with the Swaraj in that OK League?
So that Swaraj team they were run very differently from bluebells. And one of the reasons they could be run differently from bluebells was because they had access to resources. And with the resources, they were able to bring to be able to cast the net for players a little wider and hold on to their best players. So there, I was able to play with players like Angelo Burtz, who was just a phenomenal player. Later on, John Moeti would arrive there as well. Dina Pele and I moved together to Dynamos. There were players like Sugar Patel, who I think with a little luck should have played at the highest level, Harry Patel, and players like that. We had an excellent team, but we were in the OK League, and in the OK League was a real, real struggle. Everything wasn't transparent, everything wasn't really fair, and without making any excuses, in a different time, we probably would have won promotion. It was a great experience. But I must just add one. Siraj was my coach in my first year, and one of the highlights of that 1988 season was us playing against Morocco Swallows at the Land Stadium in the Bob Save game. The stadium was, I'd never seen the stadium back like that. We lost by 3-1. Dina scored the first goal, but it was another taste of what it was of the things to come if I worked hard enough.
Mm. No, absolutely. And then the move to Dynamos, how did that come along then?
Oh, that was quite interesting because at that point I was quite settled at Swaraj. In my fourth year at college, I was about to graduate and getting ready. I was in my second year of teaching already. I was quite happy earning some money, drove a nice car, but really doing well at Swaraj. So Gordon Edelston became our coach. And Gordon took a special interest in me. And as soon as Gordon came in, he added a new dimension to my team, an attacking dimension, with more responsibility. And I thought I started excelling and was happy to be there. And then one night we played against Cape Town Spurs on a bitterly cold evening at Land Stadium. I noticed that the Dynamos delegation was there. I think I had a stinker that night. I was absolutely terrible. But Najib and some of the officials walked in after the game. They sat me down and they said, listen, there's an opportunity for you to become part of the Dynamos family. Are you up for it? It was like music to my ears.
Fantastic. So there was no hesitation there in accepting that offer.
No. Dynamos, John had already gone over. John Moeti had already gone over to Dynamos. Angelo Burt had already made the move to Dynamos. Dina and I were still there, and I really thought they were going to take a few more players. But I don't think they could do that because Dynamos bought the status of Acadia. So they had to take those players from Acadia too, and there were lots of them, Robbie de Graaf and Trevor Poole and some Alan Collicott, Kelvin Stevenson. They were really, really good players, and I don't think they could have taken any more because the squad would have been too big. But when they came to me, I couldn't look the gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
That's where I always wanted to be. I was already 24 years old. Mm. I thought my time had passed me by. Right, all I did was just to enjoy the game right now. But I loved the game, and obviously, I was doing things that they liked, and I was lucky because Gordon had just moved over to Dynamos, and Gordon took me with him. Gordon felt that I could do a job for him in the midfield, but obviously, as it would turn out, I just had too much competition in that. In that midfield, I had to adapt.
Now, I just got a message here from one of the listeners via WhatsApp. Salam, who's on the radio from Roshni? I was playing there and says, bit, or I don't know if he played for VOB Soccer Club. They were good. Well, the gentleman I'm speaking to is Gora Ibrahim. So he played for VOB as well. Hopefully you watched him play. So maybe you can send us your name so we can mention it all as well. And Gora, of course, now, like every footballer in South Africa's dream is to play for one of the biggest clubs in the country. Right. If we talk about today, then it's obviously Sundowns, Kaizer Chiefs, Pirates. In Cape Town is Cape Town City. And you got the opportunity to play for Orlando Pirates. Now, that is huge. How did that opportunity come along?
Excuse me. So at Dynamos, 2 years at Dynamos, it was okay. Words fail me when I tell you of those 2 years at Dynamos, because Dynamos treated us like a family. They made sure that they doted on us, basically, making sure that everything was taken care of. We were a fairly glamorous team. Everything on time and in place. We traveled in style, we smelled nice, we looked nice, we ate well. And there was a glamour about Dynamos that the other teams tried to emulate, but they just weren't organized. And one of those very disorganized teams was Orlando Pirates.
Back then?
At the time.
Yes.
At the time. Morocco Swallows, not much better. Kaizer Chiefs. Nowhere near where Dynamos was in terms of the way we looked and in terms of the way we did things. These clubs, which is very well supported, but the administration were still lagging behind, way, way behind. The mentality was still very, very township. And I don't mean it in a bad way when I say township. I mean township because I played in the township as a junior. I know how the officials operated. We were already on a different level, so I excelled at Dynamos. You know, becoming JPS player of the series in my first year. Then I became Sunday Times. I was a finalist for the Sunday Times Player of the Year, Indonesia Football of the Year winner. You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
So I became the big fish in a small pond. And at the second year at Dynamos, it was difficult to remain at Dynamos because Palacios openly tried to get me to come to Sundowns. I mean, he openly touted me. He sat there in front of the Dynamos officials and he just said, listen, if you come to Sundowns, we'll give you X, Y, Z. Mm. And I remember that because we were at the Rand Stadium and I was injured, having pulled my hamstring. And I said, Mr. Palacios, I'm not so sure if I want to come to Sundowns. I'm happy at Dynamos.
I'm just going to stop you there for a few seconds. We're just going to take a few ads and then we'll come back to the conversation.
This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
That's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zia Khaleesi in South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Welcome back to Inside Sport on the Voice of the Cape. My guest tonight is the former Vereniging Old Boys, Bluebell, Swaraj Dynamos, and Orlando Pirates defender Gora Ibrahim. Now, Gora, you were telling us how your move to Orlando Pirates started.
Yeah. As I was saying, Phil, in my second year at Dynamos, you know, I think I was making all the right moves, and there were quite a few clubs that came in for me, and perhaps most importantly, the big three at the time, Sundowns, Orlando Pirates, and Kaizer Chiefs. Kaizer Chiefs were really, really interested. In fact, I know Kaizer put out in a firm offer, and it was all splashed all over the newspapers because Kaizer Chiefs were preparing for their first sortie into Africa in 1993. and he really wanted to, Kaiser really wanted to increase his squad depth. There were players like Benjamin Reed on his, I don't know if he eventually went, and there was Shoes Michelle. And of course, there was someone like me. We wanted to strengthen his squad. And I was really, really looking forward to it because, of course, then there was Lucas Kudebe who was playing there. Mm. And at the time, Lucas was not playing as a sweeper. He was playing as a destroyer. And my natural position was sweep, play free, and organizer. It was something that I really, really looked forward to. But of course, it wouldn't materialize. So when we found ourselves in the pre-national squad, and we were about 40 of us, it was sort of a Bafana South African team. Bafana wasn't given the name yet. South African national team, pre-national team squad, training camp over 2 weeks at a place called Helderfontein in Fourways. And that's where I learned that I was going to Pirates. Phil Seteri came to me in my second week. I was preparing to get married. And he said to me, "You're going to Pirates. Everything has been sorted out." I said, "But, of course, I couldn't get hold of any one of the Dynamo's officials. But it was not something that I had anything to do with. It was something that I vehemently opposed. I didn't want it. But it had to happen. It was just the nature of the game at the time. Officials made decisions for us."
Okay. So also now, of course, it didn't go all too well at Pirates. There were some bad experiences as well. Would you like to share some of that with us as well?
Pirates was a bad fit from the starting. You know, I often write about it more than anything else, just to try to make sense of what my time at Pirates was like. Firstly, I was never an Orlando Pirates supporter. I liked Kaizer Chiefs and I liked Mamelodi Sundowns for various reasons. They represented the glamour, and their way of play was and their structure and everything about them was something that appealed to me because we were like the Dynamos. Pirates, on the other hand, was a very, very talented team. But the stories that were there used to come out from some of the players that joined us at Dynamos from Pirates, it was horror stories. The disorganization, the fact that they didn't pay players, it was really, and I say it with respect, though I don't mean to be condescending because I played there, it was very township in the way they did things. They never looked at the bigger picture. And so I wasn't happy to go to Pirates. There was always something about to go wrong at Pirates. And dare I say, there's always something at this moment, 28, 29 years later, that could go wrong at Pirates and derail them, even if they 8 or 9 points clear at the top of the log. Mm. Because that's how it was. I didn't want to go. I had to go. I didn't know anyone there, not one player. But I ended up being there. And so I suppose it just meant the next part of my football life. Zeros?
Yeah. Gora, you're busy writing a book now. I mean, we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left, Gora, unfortunately. You're busy writing a book now about your experiences as a footballer. You want to tell us a little bit more about the book? Because I know you've been posting a lot on Facebook and social media about some of the what we can look forward to in your book, some snippets of some of your stories there. What made you decide to write a book, especially about your career?
So football has always been important to me. The dream started when I was 6 years old. And of course, my dad regaling the stories of the great Vereniging and all boys at the supper table, you know, made me believe, made me dream of something bigger. But also the other thing was, having started very slow at school, having learning difficulties, I came into my own later at school, and I really started excelling. All through my journey, my football journey, my studies and my school sort of complemented each other. They went hand in hand. And my book really is about three aspects of my life. Yes, football was always there, and I write in fair detail of all my teams. From the time I played junior football, teams like Alikwan, Roshni Bluebirds, Glendeen, which was my favorite team that I set up before I went to Vereniging Old Boys. But I also, up until the time I had my bad experience in Venda, where I walked off the field at the age of 28 and I said, I'm not going back. But football and school crisscrossed each other all the way. And with that, my family. For example, in 1993, I went to Pirates, I went to a new school, and I had just got married. In my book, I'm trying to understand how I could have done all of that as a newlywed. Mm. Two of them were mistakes. I went to the wrong school. I went to the wrong club. Fortunately, I'm in the 29th year of my marriage. So that at least some good came of it. So I write about my experiences, about my family, about my school, about my soccer, and how they intertwined, and my difficulty being a teacher and being a professional soccer player, and the difficulties my family endured when I had my own challenges and pressures at school and at soccer. Mm. It is something that I feel that people should know about, because the life of a soccer writer is not all that glamorous. It's
absolutely
a lot of hard work.
Absolutely.
And in our time, we were not even full-time professionals.
Yeah, especially when you played in the days of the FPL. So, Gora, when can we expect a release of the book? Or it's almost in the end stages, or are you still finishing it?
I'm just about done right now. I'm compiling photos of my early life and of all the soccer clubs and, you know, that I played for, especially the amateur ones. We're busy. My brother in Vereniging is helping me compile, and then some of my friends who I played with are sending me a lot of photos. There's quite a bit of photos that I need to make sense of. I don't know. My daughter's a journalist. Unfortunately, she's in London doing her master's. I wish she was here right now, that she could have guided me. I'm looking for, I have one or two people in mind who's going to help me put this whole thing together.
Fantastic.
But the most important thing is the writing's over. Yeah. And it took me the whole of a year to put it together.
Oh, fantastic. We're actually looking forward to seeing that book come out and read about your story as well. Gora, but I can't let you go before asking you, as a former FPL player,
yes,
to share some of your experiences at some of the grounds. We have lots of guys in studio. You mentioned Keith America, Farouk Abrams, Bobby Solomon, Sally Adams, Vinnie Barnes, Adib Abrams. We had them all in studio, and we have to find out. We want to ask you to share some of your experience at those FPL grounds, Lanesia Stadium, Athlone Stadium, Curry's Fountain, wherever you played.
One of my biggest regrets, and perhaps my book will be named No Regrets, My Story. One of my biggest regrets is that I played such a short period of time in the FPL. I'm good friends, and I'm very good friends with James George, with Bobby Solomon, with Siraj Abbas, mm. And I've got all of them on Facebook with me, and I watch. And I see all the things that they've accomplished playing in different grounds. And I am so sad that I was just born a little later. And I wish I was born a little earlier so that I could play against him. How I wish I could have played against Bobby. I played against Dot Bowman, and he gave me a football lesson. Mm. I played against Keith America, and he told, and all I heard between Keith America and Calvin Peterson was clinky. I don't know if Kiddo or Calvin can remember, but at Northdale Stadium, as a 15-year-old, that every time they said clinky, I go into a little panic because it was a little pass, and one of them would dart into dart away from me. Mm. Northdale Stadium is perhaps the stadium that will always stand out because there I got my first baptism of fire. Curries, I played there in the final when we lost against Manning Rangers in, I think it was 1985. And then, of course, playing at Athlone Stadium, that was a real struggle playing at Athlone Stadium. The wind was very difficult to play against, but the pace and the fitness of those Capetonians with Duncan in the middle and just making sure those guys run like the wind on the side. He just used to thread those passes. That was always a standout memory. But a real, real standout memory.
Fantastic.
Two of them is the one at Northdale Stadium as a 15-year-old. That team, with Farouk Abrams, I think, as the captain, was the best team at the time in this thing, in the FPL. And the second time, a year later, when Samora Khulu, Oscar Nsele, and Cyril Masala came into Vereeniging, about 2 months later, when I made my official debut, Dougie was clever enough to realize that I would never manage with Samora Khulu. So he played me in the midfield. Left half that time, remember, we had right halves and left halves. I played left half on my weaker foot, played for most of the game. That was my official debut. I can't forget that. No. I came up against some real players. Bedelstein come before he went to Pirates, was playing for Birds. Mm. He was mercurial. He was unbelievable. Chris Fortune is a center forward. He swore the whole game. I know Chris Fortune is a academic or whatever, but on the ground he was as competitive as ever. We swore like a sailor, and I didn't relent at all.
Gora, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Time has just caught up with us, but it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and we look forward to that book coming out, and all the very best to you and your family.
Thank you, Cyril. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on air. I feel really, really privileged, and I feel honored, and I wish you all the best with your show, and in future, inshallah, that we can speak again once I have more to say.
Inshallah, inshallah. Gora Ibrahim, thanks a lot. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'll be back with more sporting news on the Drive Time from Monday to Friday from me, Firoz Sheikh. Have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.